Please remember to take your cell phones off of Wi-Fi and put it on airplane mode, sorry. Amen. I treasured all the sharing of the brothers and sisters. Surely it is necessary to exercise, to practice. And the word must be operative and come into, enter into our heart. And the portion of all the saints is very, very encouraging for all saints. It's not just the message that we hear, and surely it's not just a message, but much more, it's a fellowship that the Lord is speaking to us. But it's very rich and very helpful. It's helpful when your portion, what the Lord has worked in you and what He has touched you with, that it would be brought out for the encouragement of all the saints. Here we're not speaking about just anything, but we're speaking that which the Spirit is working in us and touching us with. That also is an exercise in the Spirit. And it works and has an effect on all, in the hearts of all the saints. So I encourage you to practice. We also have to overcome this fear and trust in the Lord. We are learning to give Him our lips and experience that by the Spirit the Lord will put His words into our mouth, just as He put them in, as He promised Jeremiah. One afternoon or evening meeting, we had mentioned it briefly, with the vision of what Isaiah had seen. His reaction was, "Woe is me, because I am a man with unclean lips." Not he alone was unclean, but he was among a people who had unclean lips. And the Lord purged his lips. It's wonderful and very necessary to be cleansed, to be purged. Otherwise, much nonsense would come out of our mouth. And we have often experienced this. And all this nonsense and all these things which we have heard so often show us what is hidden in our heart. The Lord said, what does not enter in through the mouth does not make a man filthier. What makes him impure? But what comes out, what does defile him? What comes out of the heart? Many times we don't know how many defiling thoughts we have hidden in our hearts. You can't hide things forever, because sooner or later it'll slip out of your lips. That's how it is. And that will not only defile you, and it will also defile those who hear it. Lord Jesus, we all have much to learn. That's why we have to have an ear what the Holy Spirit is saying, and not what the men with unclean lips or defiled men are saying. Do not let yourself be defiled. Because what comes out of many lips is trash, garbage. And you are not a trash can. Hopefully not. That's why when trash comes, Stop the ears. Put the earplugs in. Then no garbage will enter. But if you're all ear, then it's your fault. We have to have a clear discernment through the Holy Spirit. That also is an exercise. And we also have to practice to give, to consecrate our lips to the Lord, to speak forth His word, not to give so much advice. Sometimes our advice is uncounsel, not real counsel. Unadvice or not? That's why now I don't like to give advice or counsel, because it's rubbish. We treasure our advice, our counsel so much that we give advice so quickly, so-called advice. In the end, it's vice. It doesn't help. Oftentimes, it just brings more problems. It's an exercise, and it's a matter of experience. It's a matter of experience. In the house of the Lord, we don't just have to know the teaching and the knowledge, but we have to enter into the experience. And also, our tongue, just as James emphasized so strongly, we have to tame our tongue. And not only so that we don't speak nonsense and speak something out of ourselves, but to speak God's word. Lord, use my lips to speak your word, your gospel, your truth, a word of righteousness, a word of life, a word of comfort, a word of encouragement, a word full of grace, salted. Just as Paul encouraged us, a refreshing word, so that the saints, when they hear it, or when your friends or your co-workers at work hear your words, then when they hear it, they will receive peace. They will receive refreshment, grace. Otherwise, in the end, there'll be some arguments, and fighting, and then you will end up with no peace. Fighting. That also is an exercise. But if you want to practice that, then you must judge your lips. O Lord, forgive me that I said something like that. Lord, save me. Save me. Not just from lying lips, but also from idle words. You also have to learn this. It is an exercise. And James's exhortation is to be taken seriously. Otherwise, we fan the flame with our lips. Lord Jesus, save us. Save us. That also needs to be judged and belongs to judgment. How often do you judge your own thoughts? Lord, I don't want to think that. Lord, that doesn't belong. That doesn't belong in my head. Lord, these are not your thoughts. The Lord's thoughts are higher than ours. My way might be a good way, but it is an earthly way, a natural way. It's my own way. But the Lord's way is many times higher. It is important to practice all these things. It's written in the word that we must exercise it. But if I have not learned to treasure that and to judge my own thoughts and ways, then all these verses in Isaiah 55, they're useless. You might say, wow, such a wonderful word in Isaiah 55, but it's useless to you. As thoughts? Of course. You agree. But when it comes to applying it in our daily life, you won't judge it your own way. You might even insist on your own way. You'll say, John, I don't agree with your way, and I'll be angry at you, upset. This is how it is. Do you judge that? That also is judgment. Didn't Paul say, if you do not judge yourself, then he will judge you? So it's best if I judge myself first. Then, when the Lord still has to judge me, then it won't be as strong or severe, so to speak. And this is also an exercise. It's righteous. If we judge ourselves, Paul says, then we will not be judged. If I tell the Father, the Lord, and the Judge, I confess my fault. Even before an earthly judge, if you tell, you take the blame, and yes, I'm guilty, yes, yes, Lord Judge, I made a mistake. Pardon me, I repent. Then the punishment might not be as severe. Or? Am I not right? But if you insist, no, Judge, you are wrong, I'm right, then woe to you. Woe to you when you say that. Learn. When you come before the Father, before he judges, say, Father, I judge that. I condemn what I have done. It's not right. I don't agree. But we people, we always want to justify ourselves. As many had testified, we always want to justify ourselves. No. It is an exercise. Praise the Lord. Then Paul said, and we also have to learn this. Actually, I don't know why I'm talking about all this stuff. It doesn't belong to Isaiah, but maybe it does belong to Isaiah. We also have to learn this, what Paul said. I am the least, it's the least to me that people judge me, but he who judges me is God. So when people speak evil or judge against you or condemn you, let them do it. It doesn't matter. For Paul, for him it wasn't so important. And the judgment from man is not always righteous and is not right. Persecution is also righteous to you. Oh, a judgment to you. Critique is also like a judgment. In those days, surely Paul the Apostle received so much critique and persecution from the people. They persecuted him everywhere he wanted to go. They even wanted to throw him out and throw him into prison and condemn him as an evil man, or even say that he was a sect and against the law. There was so much judgment. If this so-called human judgment would be so important to Paul, then he would have to stop and stay at home, and he should not be apostle. That would be the best. That is the other side that we need to learn. Don't be upset by man's judgment. Otherwise, we'll get a heart attack in the end. And then we don't have to do anything. We'll all be fearful. We have to learn it's God's judgment that we must fear. Firstly, God's judgment is always right, always righteous. We are unrighteous. Also, those who judge us are unrighteous. But you did not catch them. The Supreme Court Justice, one of the female ones, it was exposed that she always drinks. She gets drunk, intoxicated with alcohol. How can such a one be in the highest position? A judge, Supreme Court Justice, in the highest court in the USA. But God's judgment, we all have to fear. And you can only fear His judgment if you are one who walks according to His word and you treasure His word. So praise the Lord that we have much to practice and exercise. And I'm happy that this word judgment is such a lovely word to your ears. It sounds like music. Truly. When he said, "It's wonderful," wow, that's astounding. Such a topic is so healing for us. Only the Lord can do this. Because He opened our eyes. It makes us healthy. And we see that this is how the physician, Yahweh Rafika and Rafa, heals us. And He carried this judgment on the cross Himself. It was a terrible judgment. He was beaten. He was judged by man. Judged by Pilate. From the high priest. It was unjust, but He still carried that. He bore it. But for us, if anybody does something unjustly to us, then we will fight to the bitter end until blood is shed. We are not ready to receive it. Let the others keep their right. Be right. Let them be right. That's why Peter's word is also very precious. The Lord did not react because He is just so meek, but because he let the judgment, he gave it up to God to judge. He is the righteous judge. He let God judge him. He can do it better. And when he judges, then he judges righteously. When I judge, then there will be fighting. What is it all for? Maybe 30 or 40 years ago, I would be fighting, and we all would have a lot to say. But today, nowadays, I have nothing to say, or less. I have less to say. I have not completely learned to say nothing, not a single word. I'm learning it still, hopefully. Hopefully it will still come. Hopefully I'll learn it. So praise the Lord. You can judge me at any time so I can learn. I will thank you. Yes. Why not? It's a gain to you. This is what it's all about. God's judgment on his people is not always because the people were evil or did not obey. Of course, that was the cause, but Hebrews 12 tells us that the persecution that they suffered, and all who tried to take their possessions, it wasn't their fault. It was for their faith's sake. And God said that it was the chastening. Can you imagine that? For others, it was a judgment. They judge us. But for God, it was a chastening and also a judgment for us. Are we prepared to receive it and take it instead of reacting and becoming angry? We have to take grace in this matter so that we can learn. If we don't turn to the Lord and to the Spirit and take the pattern that Jesus Christ has done for us, as Peter said, and we don't follow him, this is what we should follow. We should follow the wonderful humanity of the Lord to take him as our meal offering. How else can we be like him? We just want to have good experiences, and then that's wonderful. But the bad experiences, persecution, judgment, etc., we're not ready to take that. Let the others be right. And let God judge. Don't forget, our God is also a judge, a righteous judge. And it is terrible to fall into his hand. It is terrible. And I'm not talking about the unbelievers, but I'm talking about us. Me, myself. And that's why we have the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And in Isaiah, we can see, after the Lord judged the whole world and promised that he would restore Jerusalem, the wonderful city of the Lord, and make it glorious in the end, then he put, wouldn't it be great if he just finished there and be done with it all? Isn't a nice ending nice? When you get, you know, reach the climax of a book and you have a nice ending, isn't it good to stop right there? But this author doesn't stop, and he comes next to the woes for the people of Israel. It never ends. You know, Because we always turn back. We learn something, but we also forget things a lot. Isn't that your experience? You think, wow, I finally learned it. But it maybe lasts only 2 weeks. And then you finally turn back to your old ways, to the point where you started out. And you do the same thing, and even worse. And then we didn't realize that there were even more problems hidden in us. And the Lord cannot expose all our difficulties. The Lord cannot deal with all the problems and difficulties all at once, once and for all. It's impossible. That does not mean that he's not capable to do it, but it means that we are a bad patient. I don't tell the Lord everywhere, every sickness that I have. I'm not always prepared to let out what's in my heart. So when the doctor says, what else? Oh, nothing, nothing. Everything's good. See you next time. That's how we are. We hide things. We want to hide them, and the Lord never forces you. Okay, good. It will happen to you as you believe it. Or it will be to you as you do it. The Lord will not continue to dig because you're not ready to do it. And that is also the Lord's wisdom. We wouldn't be able to bear it. If we see too much, then something happens. And that's why Paul saw so much revelation, and God had to give him a thorn in his flesh. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to bear it. He would become proud. And he would fall into the pit. And so here we can see that our fallen being is so problematic. And this judgment and this dealing with the Lord, God has to do bit by bit. And so we can see the Lord exposes a little bit, and then a little bit of encouragement and judgment, and then you think it was good, and then it comes again. That is Isaiah, and that is God's way, how he deals with us. Good luck. Much encouragement. Don't be discouraged when it happens again. Because it is necessary. That is a preface for the next meeting.